Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwired.com. Today, Rockwired Profiles singer-songwriter Beth Thornley and her mesmerizing new CD, Wash You Clean. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media, LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome to another edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at Rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there. Of all the music that has come my way this year so far, Beth Thornley stands out for me the most thanks to her latest CD and its title track, Wash You Clean. After hearing that opening sax riff of that amazing piece of pop music, I knew that 2010 had officially kicked off. I hear the song here and there on TV every now and then, but I'm hoping that it takes off in a big way. It's a great song, and God knows it deserves it. Here is Beth Thornley with the first single and title track of her latest CD, Wash You Clean. Tell ya, catchy as hell. That was Beth Thornley with the title track from her latest release, Wash You Clean. I recently spoke with Beth over the phone regarding the new release and how she has grown as a songwriter. Here is how it went. Well, Wash You Clean is out there for everyone to hear, and now that it's out there, how do you feel about the finished work?
I'm still really excited about it. It's been interesting because I've had friends call, and they tell me that their kids are going crazy for it, and I don't know, I think kids are a pretty good barometer for what feels good. And I've got one friend who has a 2-year-old daughter that calls it the Snaxophone Nice Monkey Song.
She must mean Wash You Clean, the title track.
Exactly. Oh, were you? Okay. Well, maybe I should back up because I thought you were asking specifically about Wash You Clean. But just in general, in terms of the overall album, I still feel, yes, really good about it. I've been getting great feedback on a lot of the songs. A lot of people have different favorite songs, and to me that's a really good sign that maybe it's an overall good product.
I see. And what does the 2-year-old call this song again?
The Snaxophone Monkey. I think it's the Snaxophone Monkey Song.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Now I'll know what to call it on the radio show. What do you think is different this time around on this album from your previous releases? What do you think has changed?
Well, I just like to hope that I get better as a writer, and my producer likes to hope that he gets better as a producer. And I still love my first and second albums. I really do. But I just want the songs to be better and the production to be better, so I would just like to think that maybe that, if there was a difference, that would be what it was.
I see. And talk about the producer that you worked with on this album.
Well, his name is Rob Cairns, and he graduated from Berkeley as a composer for film and TV, but he also enjoys producing bands, and he's a multi-instrumentalist, and I'm just really lucky because he can play nearly everything that we need to have played. If he feels like, there are a couple of tracks, even though he plays drums, there's a couple of tracks that he wanted a really professional drummer to play. So we went to a studio and had those laid down in a studio by Brendan Buckley, who played on 3 or 4 of the songs. But, you know, other than that, and like a trumpet player and a euphonium player, Rob's played almost everything else. So I'm pretty lucky with that.
I see. Have you worked with him on previous releases, or is this a first time?
Yeah, no. He did the second album, which is My Glass Eye, and he did my first album, which is just my name, Beth Thornley. He did both of them.
I see.
So we've really gotten used to working together. It was, you know, we really kind of had to climb that mountain. I think everybody has to figure out how to work together, and I think we're in a good place now, so it just makes sense to keep going.
I see. And talk about how music began for you as an individual.
My dad was a minister of music in the church, and so I was around music from a really young age, sang in choirs, and then, you know, I was forced to take piano lessons, as so many kids are. And so I wasn't sure exactly how I was going to be able to continue to use it through my life, but it had become so much a part of my life that I knew that whether I made a living at it, I would somehow always have it in my life.
I see. And what sort of music inspired you in this musical direction that you're in now as a singer-songwriter? A quirky one, if you don't mind me saying so, but,
no,
you know.
I'm actually flattered that you would call me quirky. I love that.
Oh, okay.
I want to try a lot of different things, which is why I think the quirky word fits and actually makes me happy to hear it, because I don't want to get inside just one box. I like a lot of different things, I guess. I like albums that have a lot of different moods, and so I just kind of strive for that. The only way I know to push myself is to make it different every time, or as different as I can. And even though I write under the pop umbrella, I just like to think of it as a really large umbrella. But I just feel like the only way I won't get stuck in a rut is if I really force myself to try different things. So I just listen to a lot of different kind of music and think to myself, well, I'd like to try something with that kind of feel. that kind of style with that kind of, you know, melody.
I see. And specifically, how do you go about writing a song? How does that work for you? Is it the same every time, or does it change every time? How does that happen?
I usually start with a lyrical idea, something about content that I want to write about. Sometimes, though, again, because I feel like I have to force myself to be uncomfortable in order to change, I will sit down and just start with a melody, because it's so often just the words, but that come first. But I guess if I had a formula, it would be I would write some words that could sort of be a verse, and then I would write some words that feel like they might be a chorus. And then I would just go back and try to hang the melody around that and see what happens. And then if I find that I'm getting a melody that doesn't work with the words, I might move towards finishing the melody, and then I'll go back to the lyrics and see if I can change them a little bit to work with the melody. So, I don't know, it just all feels a little like crazy land when I'm there.
I see. Well, specifically, talk about how that saxophone monkey song happened. How did that come about?
Well, I just, again, I'm a real Beastie Boys fan, and I wanted to write something with the hip-hop groove. I won't ever call it a hip-hop song, and it's really not. It's kind of a funky retro James Brown thing with a little bit of, you know, Beastie Boys thrown in and maybe a nod to the Dust Brothers, you know. But I just kind of liked all of that, and I wanted to see if I could put it all together. And so I just went for the sax. I was just hearing a riff in my head, and I went from that. And again, back to Rob, the producer, he played sax in college. I believe he was actually a double major. I'm not positive about this. And I think that was his, I know it was his main instrument. But as a composer, he just didn't have much call to play sax. As a composer for film and TV, he's playing a lot of keyboard to trigger samples. He's also playing a lot of guitar and bass, and never a lot of sax. So I just thought it would force him to pull out his sax, and then I would be able to try something with a bit of a hip-hop, even retro kind of funk thing going on. And that's kind of where it all came from.
It sounds like it's quite the crowd pleaser. I came across this YouTube, you know, video of you playing with the band. It looked like the Hotel Cafe. I can't remember.
Yeah, it might be. Okay.
Yeah. I see. I'm home. I'm missing LA already. But anyway, yeah, and I remember watching it, and I don't know if it was the person that recorded it. Well, obviously it was, but you know, you're at the way end of the screen, and your backup singer's like front and center. It was just kind of visually confusing.
Yeah, it's because that's where the piano was, and you can't move the piano.
Oh.
So I was at the piano, and that's just where I have to be. And then, yeah, the backup singer, that particular stage is really small.
It is.
It's kind of a miracle we all got up there. So she was standing where she needed to stand so that she could hear the monitor, and then Rob was off to her left. And there were a couple of people that were had handheld, just like flip cams there that night. And they ended up giving us that song on flip cam, and we just sort of pieced their video together. And that's kind of how it came out. And that's why there's, like, wild, you know, shaky photography, and then sometimes it'll just flip from one side of the stage to the other. Like, when the Barry Sax solo starts, whoever was filming it went, oh, it's over there, and then twisted the camera over there and to the right. So, yeah, it's all spread out and not too easy to follow, I guess.
Nice.
The crowd likes it. The crowd, I mean, because Barry Sax just isn't something you get to hear every night in a rock club.
No, it's not. It isn't.
Absolutely. It used to be more, but it's less now.
Exactly. And I remember the last time that I interviewed you, you brought up, you know, taking vocal lessons and how you always felt that you would never be an Aretha Franklin. Talk about that again.
No, I knew I never would be. I knew that. And I think at some point, I think there was something Bruce Springsteen said once. He knew he would never be the greatest guitar player and that he had better work really hard on his lyrics. I could be wrong, but I think that's something I heard or read Bruce Springsteen say once. And it got me thinking, you know, you got to go with your strengths. I've never been a naturally fantastic vocalist. I'll never be Aretha Franklin. I'll never be Patti Griffin. I wish I was. I'll never be, who else do I, even a Bonnie Raitt. You know, I just, those kind of soulful singers, I just knew that was not going to happen for me. So I thought, well, I'd better work really hard on the song. And so that's why I consider myself a songwriter first.
Visit Beth Thornley at her official website, www.beththornley.com. From her CD, Wash You Clean, here is Beth Thornley with You're So Pony.
I'm originally from Alabama. I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah. Oh, it's interesting that you're hearing it, because I always think I fool people, but I don't think I really do.
No, you're not fooling anyone.
And the more I have to drink, the less I fool people. It really comes out in full force if I've had a couple of drinks.
Oh, Southern Comfort, or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty much a lightweight. It can be two drinks of almost anything, and the Southern accent's back in full force.
Yeah, you're kind of a lithe girl. Yeah, of course, I could see that. But at what point did you move to L.A.?
About 10 years ago or so, right before I put out my first album, which was in 2003. But I worked on it for a couple of years before then. So that I had been kind of touring around the country with the band and landed here and decided to stay.
I see.
Yeah, I had gotten tired of being a gypsy, so I decided to stay here for a while and see what would happen. And that's when I actually started writing, because I didn't know how else I would do it if I didn't write my own songs. So that's when I started doing that.
I actually heard Wash You Clean on some MTV show a couple of days ago, and I got all excited for you.
Yeah, it was actually a VH1 show.
It was
their Tough Love Couples show. It was their season premiere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that, well, VH1, MTV, they're under the same company. You know, they're kind of almost the same thing.
Yeah, nowadays.
Yes, absolutely. So they just, you know, they just air different things on different channels is all. But yeah, it was Tough Love Couples. I was really excited about that placement. And super cool that you heard it, too.
I know. It was just a chance thing. I mean, whenever I hear a song from someone I've interviewed, like in a, whether it, or it be a record store or a bar, I always got to make a point of standing on the highest, you know, point and saying, I interviewed them.
You know? Oh, I don't blame you. That must be really cool, especially some of the, like, you know, more famous people.
Exactly. But people are like, you know, sit the fuck down. But anyway.
Oh, well.
But from this album, what songs resonate for you the most personally and why? I mean, you know, audiences are going to have their favorites, but what is it that, what songs off of it speak to you the most, having written them? And
I guess the two that speak to me the most are Bones and maybe Never Your Girl. Those are probably the most, the two most personal songs. And they're sort of down the playlist in terms of album order, track listing. Bones is, I believe, 6, and Never Your Girl is, I believe, that one might be 9. And I kind of thought that Never Your Girl would get lost. It's not lost, but it's a ballad, and ballads don't tend to get your attention right away. But I hope people are hearing Bones, even though it's number 6. It sounds like it's going to be a ballad, but it by the time it's into the second chorus, it's completely rocking, and by the time it hits the bridge, it's just really going. And I just really like that song, and I hope other people do too. Give that song a chance, you know.
You So Pony is a curious choice for a second release, I think.
Yeah, it's, well, again, I was hoping it would, just kind of catch people's ear, and it was just something fun, and sometimes I get tired of writing these angsty, singer-songwritery kinds of songs, so I just decided, what the hell, I'm just going to write a pop song for the sake of it being a pop song. It's not going to have any more importance than that, and I just want it to be fun, and I want it to be something that people want to makes them want to get up and jump around to. So there's no hidden meaning or agenda with that. I just wanted to kind of do something fun.
Yeah, and that song and the title track are like the two, you know, like, you know, bouncy poppy songs, whereas everything else seems to be very ballad heavy. Was that intentional, or was it just you? Was it just you going through the motions as a songwriter?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call everything else a ballad. Like, for instance, A to Z is a real straight-up pop, jangly swing song, you know? And then, like I said, Bones rocks really hard. It's a dark song, but it rocks really hard. And then the third track, Everyone Falls, is really rolls along. And I think it's the subject matter that might make people think that the rest of the album isn't as up. Those songs are a little heavier in their meaning, but the feel and the mood are pretty up. There's No Way is also a straight-up pop song. It just rolls right along, but the subject matter is serious. So I would say there's really only two ballads on the album, and it's What the Heart Wants and Never Your Girl. And everything else is anything from a medium tempo song to a heavier rocking song.
I see.
Yeah, but I just think that the subject matter leads people to think it's the other songs are heavier. But if you strip away the lyrics and just kind of go with the groove, it's not too much of a downer album.
No, it's not. It's not.
Yeah.
And with that said, what would you like a person to come away with after they've heard the album?
You know, I guess I would like the maybe album title to kind of ring, you know, wash you clean. Maybe, you know, feel like they've you know, maybe been doused a little bit in a good way with something maybe fresh and new is maybe what I would hope for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the single alone does that.
Oh, that's good to hear.
A nice summery song released in early part of the year. But anyway, it's still a nice summer song, summertime song.
It takes a while for people to find some things. So I'm hoping that with the summer still, you know, a couple of months away, that song can still snowball into something and maybe hit this summer. That would be really cool.
Visit Beth Thornley at her official website, www.beththornley.com. From her CD, Wash You Clean, here is Beth Thornley once again with Never Your Girl.
For a long time, I pretended there would be a perfect end. That for now it didn't matter. Turn the tourniquet again. And all hands in without hearts don't know what they started. You can't say you love me, 'cause I know where we've been. You can't say you love me and do it all again. All the sparrows
That's going to do it for this edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles. A special thanks goes out to Beth Thornley and to Wendy Brinford-Jones of Hello Wendy PR. Visit Beth at her official website, www.beththornley.com. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media, LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com.